Here's a comforting truth to cling to in times of trouble.
God looks beyond our circumstances, and He's always got a plan for us. Everything is working for good for those that love the Lord. Romans 8:28. So that's a truth we need to stand on. We've got to wait for the outcome. So God looks to the greater good and the greater blessing of the situation. Always He sees the end thereof. Now, we don't see that. We might think, oh, this is how it's going to end. That's how it's going to end. And we might just, you know, and how many times were you wrong? Man, who was I listening to? What was I listening to? They were lies, weren't they? Because it never came to pass. So we have to learn to be patient and know that God is good. And He's working all things for the good.
Your Spirit leads me on. And I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies. And I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hello again, and thank you for dropping by to study the Word with us here at Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is midway through a series in Daniel. Chapter 6, enemies of Daniel set a crafty trap. A law is enacted by the king, which pretty much says you can't pray to anyone but him. And if you do, you'll be thrown into a lion's den. Think that stopped Daniel? Not a chance. Let's see what we can learn from this courageous Christian. Here's Pastor Jeff on today's Sound Doctrine.
Book of Daniel, chapter 6, we're now entering into a very common story, a story that's heard by most little children that are raised in the ways of the Lord, that's powerful. And I don't know about you, but I know that there are certain seasons that we all go through in our Christian walk. And there is the summer, there is the fall, there's the winter and the spring. And maybe some of you are going through a winter right now. Well, Daniel was going through his winter. But it'll never stay that way, okay? God is always moving us along. And just know this, that when winter's there, spring's right around the corner. And things are going to change, and the Lord's going to pick you up. And you're going to look at everything differently. You're going to be energized by His Spirit. And yes, we have our times of having some lows in our life, but oh, the Lord always brings us up, and we learn from those lows. So we left Daniel last week in a very dangerous situation. He had grown now and been around for quite a while. He's 90 years young. He was in one night put as third ruler in ancient Babylon. I mean, he was given the whole thing in one night. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon his life. Why? Because he was daring to be a Daniel. And he was instant in season and out of season. Even though for 20 years he was idle, not being used mightily at all. He was studying the Word. He was in prayer. Remember we talked about you senior saints that are out there, be encouraged. God's timing is perfect, and He wants to stir you up and get you back going again. But it's in His time. He's preparing you for the place He has prepared for you. So Daniel was called on, remember? And there he gave the meaning of the words that were written on the wall. But Babylon was destined to fall. We already know that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 39, that the head of gold is going down. And the arms of silver were coming in. The Medes and the Persians would take Babylon that same night, October 12th, 539 BC. They took it over just like that. And then something very miraculous took place. Daniel found grace in the eyes of Darius. Not only in the eyes of God, and God was using him, but then this next person that would come to rule and to reign over Babylon, Darius, put Daniel as one of, in fact, he put him as the top president of over two other presidents. And remember, there was over, I think, something like a hundred and something princes under him. So it was kind of an interesting government that was set up after that incredible monarchy of Nebuchadnezzar. That's the strongest type of government. But as the gold now goes to silver, so we see it. It is weakening as far as the government is concerned. This was sort of a parliamentary type of government. There was 120 princes. And God's hand was on Daniel in such an awesome way. In fact, there are stories that came that Daniel found Cyrus, who was named Darius. Either it was the same person, or some believe it was a name for that person who was ruling. But we don't see anything about Darius in historical evidence, but we do see Cyrus. And it's been told that Daniel took the book of Isaiah, showed Cyrus his name there, that he was even spoken about 150 years before he was born. And when Cyrus saw that, there became an attraction or a relationship that was in God with both of them. And he put him up as number one over the presidents and over the princes. Incredible. But he had many enemies. And here in chapter 6, we see a whole government binding together, planning, plotting Daniel's demise again. Here he is in a high position. God put him there. Who's to say we might not see that our government, who is supposed to be ruled by the people, of the people, for the people, would turn against Christians, would set up great prison camps? Is it going to get worse? It could, very easily. Is there going to be persecution on Christians, especially those that stand up for righteousness in a society that wants us to all be very politically correct? It's going to get very dangerous. Who's to say? A persecution, imprisonment could be around the corner. Here the leaders trap the king to sign a decree that would really, literally sign Daniel's death sentence. They knew that Daniel would pray because Daniel loved his God, and they knew that. And they knew that he always prayed. Because why? He was dependent on his Father, which is in heaven. He just was always seeking the Lord. The law couldn't be changed. The guys knew that because it's a weaker type of government. Whereas when the law was put in, you couldn't change it. The king couldn't even change it because he didn't have the power to do that. Whereas Nebuchadnezzar could say this, thumbs down, you're dead. Thumbs up, you're alive. He could change anything, any law, anytime he wanted to, but not with the Medes and Persians. So Daniel, because of his love of God, and I'm always reminded of Joshua. He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what it's all about. Just serving Him, loving Him. There comes a time where we must obey God rather than man. And with government and with the home, there is subjection to a point. And we learn this not only here with Daniel, but all the way through the scriptures. There comes a time where one is violated in his conscience. Whether it has to do with sex or abuse or drugs in the home, there are certain things where you just draw a line. Submission to a point, even with a government, let alone in the home. We know that that is true. Same with kids and parents. As kids today are being raised by delinquent parents. And when things are going on in the home that are ungodly and immoral, then it's time to get out. It's time to tell somebody. This story is also a warning to those who, through jealousy, envy, throw dirt. And there's a lot of people that get jealous. There's a lot of people that are envious at other people. And remember last week I said, you're going to get dirty if you throw dirt. You're bound to get dirty, and you're bound to experience corruption. And I'll tell you something about corruption. It breeds more corruption. And so we're seeing that here in this story. that if you chew on others, you also could be bitten yourself. And we'll follow this line of thought through. See, the king was trapped. He couldn't change the law that he had made. They talked him into it. He had the lawyers spend all night looking in the books. There's got to be a loophole. We've got to get Daniel out of this. Because he knew this was bad news. Daniel was going to go down. So Daniel was to be thrown into the lion's den. Why? Because he broke the king's law. They caught him. They waited for him. Like I said, this is one of the most popular Bible stories ever told. This, Jonah, and a few others. Everybody knows about Daniel in the lion's den. Others who dealt with lions were Samson. Remember, Samson took a lion and just ripped him right in half with his incredible strength from the Lord. David killed one that was after his sheep. And remember, his testimony was, well, the Lord gave me strength to come against a lion and a bear. He's going to give me strength now to come against this giant. So we always have our lions and bears, don't we? That the Lord is allowing us to have victory over so we can deal with the giants that come our way. These lions literally get Daniel into the hall of faith. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11? Let me read it to you in verse 32 of Hebrews 11. It says that, what shall I say the more? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, and of David also and Samuel the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And of course, that's Daniel. And then quenched the violence of fire. And that's the three Hebrew children. So incredible things were taking place as God was going before him. And this story has incredible practical lessons for each one of us. I love this. It's so simple, but so powerful. The number one lesson I see is God's faithfulness. That we're not to prejudge our situation. If you're going through a winter, we're not to say, well, this is why, and this is what's going to happen. And you start to think, and the devil jumps on with you and agrees with you, and he explodes it even more. And tells you how bad and rotten you are and how you're never going to make it out of this one. This one's going to take you down. And you just, oh my gosh, and you think you're going to die. Don't prejudge your situation. That's the first lesson. God's faithfulness. Number two, the faith of one wholly consecrated to God. Incredible what that will do as we'll watch Daniel. And the third lesson is the blessings of obeying God rather than man. One thing for man to say something, but man, the fear of man is a snare. We need to have the fear of God, don't we? To where we obey God no matter what. No matter what man says. And then the fourth one is the reward of coming out from amongst them and being separate unto the Lord. So this chapter is also very prophetic in that Darius is a type of the Antichrist that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. Remember that whole situation? You must take the mark or you will die. And so we're going to see Darius in that position. Here, Daniel is a type of the 144,000 Jews that are going to be chosen by God. Remember those Billy Grahams that are going to be anointed by God in the Great Tribulation period to witness to the world. Daniel is a type of that. And where there is no guile or fault in them, Daniel is that man, sealed and preserved. And I want you to notice this, through the lion's den, not from the lion's den. He would have to go into the lion's den. But the Lord would take him through that period. This is what's powerful. So what is that lion's den? It's the type of the great tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. Spiritually speaking, over in 1 Peter chapter 5, listen to what he says in verse 7. This is 1 Peter 5, 7. This is what we're going through. Casting all our care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom, he says, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it reveals our encounter with a lion as Christians, and then it reveals that through this encounter, we're going to have victory. How? By resisting the enemy. He's a liar. By saying, "It is written, Satan." By standing strong in faith, believing that God has brought me this far, He's not going to leave me now. We're going to get through this. We're going all the way. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And standing in that faith. Let's look at it tonight in Daniel chapter 6. We left off in verse 16. Daniel 6, 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And then in verse 17 he says, "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the promise might not be changed concerning Daniel." Kind of sealed his fate, so to speak. So Daniel, who sought God, here's a man who sought to live for God and do everything right, to devote his life to the Lord, to depend upon his God, is now thrown into a den of hungry, man-eating lions. Now, Daniel's critics would say these lions weren't hungry. In fact, they were so old, they didn't have any teeth. But what about gumming us to death? You know, I mean, they have huge jaws, and they're strong, even though they're old, you know. And they would have us think that they were just old things, just lying around. At first glance, it looks like it doesn't pay to serve God. You know, when you first hear these stories like this. It's like David when he saw the rich and the famous and how they never get sick in Psalm 73. Everything's always good with them. They're always laughing, always partying, always driving the nice cars. I can't believe it. And then he says, you know, as he goes on there in Psalm 73, "I guess that I've just served the Lord for nothing. Because here I am serving the Lord and I don't have what they have." And he started to get envious at the rich. Until he went into the sanctuary of the Lord, and the Lord opened his eyes and his ears and showed him the place that he was sitting in was the good place of the Lord, the safe place. And all the rest were in a precarious situation. In a moment, they could be taken out into a Christless eternity. But remember, God looks beyond our circumstances, and he's always got a plan for us, right? Everything is working for good for those that love the Lord. Romans 8, 28. So that's a truth we need to stand on. We've got to wait for the outcome. So God looks to the greater good and the greater blessing of the situation. Always he sees the end thereof. Now we don't see that. We might think, "Oh, this is how it's going to end. That's how it's going to end." And we might just, you know, and how many times were you wrong? How many times? Think about it. Man. Who was I listening to? What was I listening to? They were lies, weren't they? Because it never came to pass. So we have to learn to be patient and know that God is good. And he's working all things for the good. Even in the hairiest trials. And I would say this is a very hairy trial. a loud, scary, hairy trial. As he's thrown into this dark cave. There were actually two caves, and they would put the stones, once they let them down, they would seal then the top. And you were just there with these beasts. God's going to deliver them. The king, he's saying, "Well, I'm hopeful." In the last part of verse 16, "Well, I think that your God's going to be with you, and Daniel, you're going to get out of it." But it's easy for somebody else to say, "Oh, it'll be fine. Just don't worry about it. Daniel, it'll be all right. You got an awesome God, man. He's with you. Yeah, but you're up there and I'm down here." You know, it's easy for you to say. I'm the one who's down here. And it is, isn't it? It's always easy to say. He'll see you through. But the king knew it was out of his hands. There was nothing he could do. Here's where God gets the glory. And you've heard the saying over and over again, God, or our extremities are God's opportunities. It's when we're at the end of our rope that this is when God can come in and get all of the glory. And oh, God, help us to give it all to you. When you enter in at that last moment and you're there and you get us through that time, that we'll be able to tell others and give them the same comfort that you have given to us. The God of all comfort, all of our trials and tribulations. So how do you react with boils when you get boils? You get up and you got four of them on your face, and you got to go make a presentation at work. They're huge. How do you react? How do you handle these things? How about caves? How many of you like the deep, dark ones with the bats in them? How do you like those? Now, Job, he just said, well, I just guess I'll worship the Lord. You know, boils all over him, you know? You what? Yeah, I worship the Lord. David said, you know what? I think I'll sit in this cave and I'll start writing some psalms, just praises to God. And wasn't that the place that all the psalms were written? In the caves? That David was hiding from Saul? Good things come out of dark places, don't they? And we don't see it. When backed up to the Red Sea, nothing you can do, man. I mean, there it is. Moses said, what can I do? Oh, I guess I'll just pray. And the Lord says, no, it's not a time to pray. And then he made a way, didn't he? It's time to get going, Mo. Take off. Now. And he looked. He went, okay, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's more than just prayer. It's take a step. Move out. He's waiting. But God makes a way. When I was a child of disobedience, when I was lost in my trespasses and sins, in the lust of my flesh and my mind, when I was a child of wrath, I love this because the Bible says in Ephesians, there in chapter 2, he says, and starting with verse 4, let me read it to you. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, and then it goes on, and in verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we're at tonight if you're a Christian. You're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we don't feel like it. But if we call, the Bible says, he will deliver us. That's his promise to us. He promised us that if we call upon his name, we shall be saved and delivered.
A wonderful promise to hold on to when you're in the midst of a great difficulty. Many are right now. And that's why this study in Daniel chapter 6 is so helpful and timely. This is Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. You can request today's study on CD when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Simply mention today's date to help us identify the study you're looking for. And again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I should also mention you can go to our website to order resource materials from us and even replay today's program. We're at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, here in the month of May, we honor and celebrate our moms. And with that in mind, we've picked out a book written by Elizabeth Elliot. Every mom, and really every woman, needs to read this book. It's called Let Me Be a Woman. Elizabeth writes, in order to learn what it means to be a woman, we must start with the one who made her. With Scripture as her guide, author Elizabeth Elliot shares her observations and experiences in a number of essays on what it means to be a Christian woman. Whether you're single, married, or widowed, I know you'll be greatly encouraged by this book. Order it today by calling 800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. please remember that your gifts help us bring these shows to the radio every day. We rely on the Lord and the support of our listeners to make all of this happen. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request. We want to know how Sound Doctrine is benefiting your walk with the Lord. So email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please also mention the station that you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll get back into Daniel next time we meet. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generous support. So Father,